very slimy place.
Hello, and happy Halloween. Today is the Sherpa's Scary Supernatural Saturday. We bring you two episodes filled with scary stories. The second episode is a Sherpa Select, with a replay of the Sherpa's interview of Marianne of Walking the Shadowlands. However, in this episode, we present a brand new interview with Jennifer and Maxwell of Odd Tonic. They even brought a spooky story to the Sherpa Chalet. We hope you enjoy the show. As for me, I'm going to hide behind Mr. Bruce for the remainder of the episode.
Attention, rebels of the Sherpalution. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/sherpa. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now Mr. Bruce will lead you into the Sherpa Chalet.
As a reminder, throwing water balloons, or people, off the cliffs, is strictly prohibited.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce, and hey there, rebels of the Sherpalution, or should I say, monsters of the Sherpalution. It's me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa. You are listening to a special Saturday edition of Too Many Podcasts, but we're calling this one the Sherpa's Scary Supernatural Saturday Special. And welcome. So glad to have you here. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween. Get some candy. I don't know who's able to trick-or-treat because of the pandemic. So I figured, well, let's do a little something spooky for some folks who might be hanging around tonight and want a little bit of a scare. So I have two episodes that have scary stories in them. And both of them our previous guests. The second interview that you'll hear is my interview with Marianne from the Walking the Shadowlands podcast. It's a Sherpa Select. Just a little tweaking done and remixing, remastering, whatever. Hopefully it sounds a little bit nicer from the first time when it came out in season one. And we kick things off with a return visit. Yes, this is a brand new episode with my friends Jennifer and Maxwell from Odd Tonic. Huge fan of the show. I've heard all the episodes. They're on a bit of a hiatus, but they'll tell us the story about that. And this is a good time for you guys to catch up on some of those episodes if you're a fan of the paranormal and the supernatural. These are the folks who know how to do this type of podcast right. I love it. Love them. They're fantastic. And also, they brought an exclusive scary story to the Sherpa Chalet that I think you're going to like. It's really cool. Why don't I just stop carrying on and we will get right down to business with Jennifer and Maxwell of Odd Tonic. Hello, Rebels. I am so excited to be bringing you this special Halloween special, and I have very special guests for this Halloween special. If you were listening on season 2, episode 10, which just happens to be, as of this date, my fourth most listened to episode, and for good reason, you heard this couple, and they're wonderful. They're the sweethearts of the supernatural, the lovers of the... I can't think of anything.
Oh, it's such a strong start.
It'll come to me sooner or later. I'll work on it. Anyway, they host a podcast called Odd Tonic, and it is on my playlist. I've listened to every episode since we've spoken, and please welcome Jennifer and Maxwell. Yay. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you for having us. I feel spooky and special.
We're thrilled to be here.
Oh, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
How have you guys been since we last spoke? I know it's been since December, so it's almost been
a year, right?
Almost.
Yeah.
Crazy year.
How we spent our COVID by Max and Jennifer.
COVID kind of put us on involuntary hiatus.
It did. Yeah. Like everywhere else in the world, the parlor was heavily scrambled by COVID. With our finding ourselves with a lot of
more personal responsibilities. It just, you know, podcasts are a labor of love and it's what we do in our free time. And suddenly we have no free time.
And we never came out with an official, well, Odd Tonic is on hiatus, but we'll be back. Because we didn't know what to say after that. And we didn't want to be on hiatus.
It's not like the world is back to normal.
Right. So every week, every month, we just thought we would have an answer, and the year is almost over.
It's Halloween.
That's okay. You and everybody else is waiting for a good answer, too. So You don't have to feel so alone with that.
Phone in yours now.
Right. But I suppose this is a great segue to say that when everyone is done listening to the amazing Jim the Podcast Sherpa on Too Many Podcasts, feel free to come on over to Odd Tonic, where we will have our very own, second episode of the year, our very own Halloween episode as well.
Yay!
Yes, we have definitely planned to, you know, we can't ignore Halloween. We have to make it happen no matter what. So
is Halloween your Christmas?
Yes. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Is that a safe way to put it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. And when like the decorations go out in the store, I'm shopping for like home decor for all year and I get so excited. It's just a magical time of year.
And last year we tried to make Christmas the second Halloween.
Oh yes, we did.
And then we tried to make Valentine's Day, the third Halloween.
Yes.
Well, for those of you who should start listening to this podcast, and I'm talking about Odd Tonic, You guys did 12 days of scary Christmas stories,
right,
too.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we brought back the Victorian ghost story.
That was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. Christmas time for the Victorians was the time to roll out the ghost stories, both personal and then also newspapers and magazines for many, many years would put out the
You need something Christmas to read story. On those cold, dark nights by your fire, you know.
And one got to be pretty popular during that time. A fellow that you may have heard of him by the name of Charles Dickens. That's actually where A Christmas Carol came from during this era where writers were vying for that year's perfect Christmas story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool.
Oh, wow, I did not know that.
I learned something every day.
There's a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you before we kind of get into the Halloween stuff.
Sure.
That we didn't get to talk about the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked learning about your show and how everything kind of comes together. But there were some things I kind of ignored. And I said, we will do this next time.
And here we are.
So first of all, you guys have probably the most unique style of podcasters. I think you like the two most stylish dressers in Podcastia that I know. And it's a unique look. It's not a copy of anybody. You're in your own fashion lane. And I'm saying that as a positive thing. I'm not saying like, oh, God, what are they wearing?
It's funny to have a look for an audio podcast, but
we're the best looking audio podcast out there.
But if they see you on the website, though, they see how you dress. I mean, that's how you normally dress.
You're looking
right?
at us right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And for those who don't have access to a website right now, autonicsociety.com.
Yes.
How would you describe your...
Oh, spooky, ensemble. Romantic, gothic kind of, you know, draws on the Victorian era. Definitely, you know, if Morticia and Gomez were Victorian, maybe that would be us.
Yeah, that's a great description. Yeah, and I really enjoy my shirt vests of many different patterns, I suppose.
Yeah, you've got like a Baroque black velvet going on right now and an eyeball tie. Mm-hmm.
I enjoy my ties. Mm-hmm. Skull ties, eyeball ties. Mm-hmm.
Spiders. Ouija board. You have the Ouija board one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too many favorites.
Too many neckties.
That's the next podcast.
That's right. Too many
neckties. But that one has to be a video one. Like, I'm taking it from my closet.
It's got to be, right?
Wish you could see this, folks.
Why did this fail?
Where did you originally get the idea of doing the Supernatural podcast, too? I mean, it was just both you both had a love of the mysterious and everything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's been a while now thinking about it, but we've always had an affinity for the spooky and the strange and the weird and the odd and the quirky and just absolutely love it. And we started listening to podcasts ourselves. And Max comes from a film background. I come from a film background, and we always had in the back of our mind that we would do a project together, but film is very time consuming and it takes a lot of people, you know, crew and everything.
And lots of money.
Actors and money. And then when podcasts became popular and we started listening to some spooky podcasts, it was like, wow, you know, maybe this is the project we could do. It's just audio. It'll be easy. But aside from that, I'm like, yeah, that's great. And he's like, well, what would you want to do? I'm like, oh, come on. Well, I mean, we're having these discussions anyway. We're reading these books anyway. And really, you do have to work on a topic that you love, because if you're just doing it because you think it'll trend well or something, you're going to burn out really quick, because it does take a lot of work no matter what, if it's just audio or not. But yeah, it was just something we were always passionate about. And then the community that we wanted to build around it was always a part of it as well, that we really felt like, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could meet a bunch of artists and weirdos and creative types and poets and, you know, everyone out there. And like, what if we could all meet together and form this community around these things that we all love? And suddenly we're not alone anymore, you know?
If anyone gets the chance, check out their social media pages. You guys have got the most interesting posts. It's like a lot of interesting artwork and a lot of funny little memes and stuff like that. And just a rabid following, too. The people really love your
stuff. We've got the best community.
The best.
They're wonderful.
And if you're interested in joining them, you can find them at facebook.com/groups/oddtonicsociety. Because we'd love to have you. If this is resonating with you, you'll resonate with us.
I've been there. I like it.
Yay. Yeah,
we're always doing something fun.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Currently for October, we're doing a Halloween gift exchange. We did this for Valentine's Day as well. We did Gothic Spooky Valentine's Exchange. And even though, you know, we're on hiatus, we still really want to be engaged with the community because we love it. So we've organized a Halloween gift exchange. So there's a sign up and...
There was a sign up
because this is Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone. Happy Halloween. And, and then... we paired them up with, like, it's kind of like a Secret Santa style. And then you can either craft or buy something cool online and send a special spooky gift to someone on Halloween. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do something for Christmas too. Spooky Christmas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you missed that.
Spooky everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe Thanksgiving. Wait, that's not quite the turkey.
Spooky turkey.
Something is moving in the stuffing.
Oh my gosh.
When you guys do an episode, how long would it normally take you to prep? Because I know there's a lot of detail in your episodes.
Gosh, right. You should answer that one. Producer hat guy, right. Producer hat wearer.
Right. Well, Jim, like you said, we did decide to take a slightly different approach to our podcast.
I regret nothing. I don't.
No, me either. Even though it does probably take a little extra time. Mm-hmm. We decided that we wanted to really, really put a slick package on the whole thing. We initially thought that we would sort of more casually come to the microphone and share some stories. But we realized when we were really true to us, if the podcast were really to reflect who we are, we wanted to be a little bit more different.
Yeah.
Differenter? Is that the word?
Most different.
Most different. than what was out there.
We wanted to really approach it like a radio show.
Yeah, and we really wanted to put a real slick veneer on it so that
it was an experience.
Yeah, that maybe Odd Tonic, you know, in a alternate universe was the show that would come on NPR after Radiolab.
Yeah.
That was sort of what we were going for.
And really aim with the community in mind, the feeling that they were coming into the parlor with us and they were having a cup of tea and the fire's going and we're gonna have a discussion about some crazy, insane topic for the night. And really, you know, really kind of host that and make that as real and as lush as possible.
That is really thought out to the last detail from what I can tell. First of all, I don't know if you guys, they are actually recording in that parlor. That picture that you see on the website, that's where they're sitting. That's their real place. It's not like they're in just some dark recording studio or anything like that. It's all decked out.
Yeah, very true. Know? If you watch our trailer or any intro, right, for mm-hmm. every episode on YouTube, mm-hmm. All those artifacts and stuff, that's our junk, the stuff we own.
That's all things that are in the parlor.
And we just absolutely love it. And again, that's kind of the motivation for why we started the podcast the way we did. It's just we had so much to share and we're so passionate about it that any chance we get to go all barrels forward, we do it.
And Jim, I just realized I did not answer your question. From Soup to Nuts, it probably takes about a week to put out a single episode. That's with Jennifer doing the librarian work, pulling out
research,
first, you know, picking a topic that sounds really exciting, and then pulling together stories and background history and trivia. Then together we hammer out a nice presentation of that, and then after we record it, then I'll put on my audio engineering hat and do some editing and blending of the music and sometimes sound effects.
Yes.
Or things to heighten the experience. But yeah, about one.
That's another thing where you guys are so on point with that, with the music and the sound effects. I think that really puts the cherry on the cake.
Yeah.
Is that right? The icing on the cake?
How do you
like your cake?
Because I love both.
It's the cherry pie on top of the cake.
That works. We like our dessert.
Right.
You know. Now that I've gone through your catalog of shows, I want to mention three shows that if people start listening to Odd Tonic, I hope that they check these out because these are special favorites of mine.
Oh, great. I want
to
hear.
I love to hear this.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favorites?
Well, I know that you guys say that you always like the ones that their listeners send in mm-hmm. where you get mm-hmm. these really interesting
the parlor stories.
Yeah.
The first one, obviously Cursed Objects. That was just like an interesting piece of history. And I didn't realize that you had like the pictures of the actual paintings mm-hmm. and everything. They're mm-hmm. they are creepy.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah. The crying boys.
Oh, yeah. And the one with the hands or mm-hmm. what was that one called?
Oh, no. Put ourselves on the spot.
Moving on. I think it's bad luck to mention the name of it. So
right.
We're just going to...
Purposely.
Okay, yeah.
We're just not going to... Not
we
because we forgot.
Falling in the parlor.
The name of that painting's at the tip of my tongue. Mm-hmm. Tip of my tongue.
It's a crazy half sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at it earlier, too, and I you think I would have remembered it also. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. It's the curse.
I'm telling you. I think we should just stop now. We're tempting fate.
Trouble the hands.
Yeah. It's something about hands. The hands resist him.
Yes, that's it.
I win.
Yeah. Okay, Jennifer, since you won that round, okay. This is for the bonus question, because I don't remember which episode it was, but there was a story about a family. I think they were in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And then they were constantly haunted by this. And,
the
and
dude.
Their daughter.
Was it the dude one?
The dude.
That's the parlor
stories. The dude?
Stories.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that was a great one. That
Do you
was a
remember
great one.
That was a Parlor Stories episode? Mm-hmm. Do you remember one specifically?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember the name of that one.
We have a habit of naming them. It's some haunted object. You know, we tend to say haunted underwear edition, haunted, haunted birthday,
right.
Haunted playground.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it was the birthday episode.
But I agree. That was a wonderful story.
And we still keep in contact with them too, mm-hmm. because they tend to just have great stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, just to say again, it's all about community, right? People send in their stories and it's not like it goes off into the void. We really create bonds with people over this craziness. And I just cherish that so much.
Number three, I think it's probably one of the more entertaining ones that you do, the behind the scenes episode. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Because
you guys sounded like you had a lot of fun doing that.
We were telling through. Personal stories in that one too, right?
Yeah. Right. With the Triscuits.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yes. That is my life. It's Triscuit haunting.
Would you mind telling the story about the Triscuits, Jennifer?
Oh, sure. That's when I lived in a haunted condominium.
Ooh. Haunted condominium?
On the third floor. Living alone at the time, and that made it extra spooky. Things happened in that space, especially at night, especially when I'm trying to sleep. There would be noises like there was a fight in the hallway, and it would tumble into the bedroom. Through the closed door. It seemed worse if I kept the door shut. So it was like, fine, I'll sleep with the bedroom door open. You know, just noise, strange noises. I saw things there. The Triscuit thing in particular was I was in the living room. I think I was either talking to a friend on the phone or something. Kind of decided to call it a night.
You were eating Triscuits
and,
at the time.
Yeah, in the front room. And, you know, then put them away in the kitchen. And I went into the bedroom, and at the foot of my bed was a pile of Triscuits just sitting there. And I know I didn't do it. And at that point, I was documenting everything. So I even have a picture of these haunted Triscuits.
This episode of Too Many Podcasts is brought to you by Triscuits.
And the funny part of that story is that earlier in the day, I sat on my bed and I kind of had a conversation with whatever was there, like, hey, you know, I don't think there's anything I can do to help you. It's fine if you want to be here, but you might be happier somewhere else. Just let's be cool. Let's be cool. And the funny thing is that later when I saw the Triscuits, it was kind of like if someone had been sitting on the bed with me, that's where the Triscuits were. So it was almost like it was some kind of sign or signal or response to the little spiritual conversation we had earlier that day. So that was a little strange.
You could have told them, you know, if you're going to bring me Triscuits, bring some cheese.
Right. Where's the spray on cheese?
Yeah. And that place also, if you're into ghost hunting at all, that residence had some weird EMFs too, electromagnetic force. Is that what it's for? Phenomenon? No. That's, yeah. EMFs.
Fields.
Thank you. I was drawing a blank. Weird EMFs. And I'm slightly sensitive to EMF activity. And I had bought an EMF detector. And I'm like, okay, this spot. And sure enough, in the bedroom, when you brought the EMF detector in there, it would spike for no reason in those spots. There wasn't any electrical there or anything odd. And there was no upstairs floor. I assume all the layouts were the same, so all the electrical would be the same, but I can just tell. It's really hard to describe, but EMFs can make me kind of anxious, and it feels like someone is standing in the room is the best way I can describe it. If you're able to, you know, close your eyes and you know someone's in the room with you and you know where they are and you feel it kind of like as a sense, that's really what EMFs kind of do for me. And I could never investigate enough to know if it was a strange technical issue with the building that was causing that or if it was something more paranormal, but it was fairly consistent. Strangeness.
Just kind of follows you around, huh?
Yeah.
It does, as a matter of fact. Including the home.
I know
home,
you guys have some ghost stories.
Including the home that the parlor resides in.
Yes. In fact, when we were creating the podcast, we had a few serious discussions about, okay, if we're going to start focusing on this stuff, we have to be very careful because when we focus on it, it tends to either give it more attention or I just become more of an antenna because it's exciting, right? And I'm giving it energy and things happen.
Right. Before we moved in, it was a rental home and there was, without going into too much detail. It was a high traffic sort of home.
Yeah. Like a brothel. It wasn't a brothel.
True. I should watch my words. But lots of people, probably a lot of drama, a lot of crisis.
Life's in upheaval.
Yes, a lot of upheaval. And when we got the house, there was a lot of restless energy still in the house. Mm-hmm. And it never quite dissipated. In fact, we have a ritual that has developed over the years that we've lived here. Jen will sage mm-hmm. the entire home. And then a few months later, slowly but surely, the energy starts becoming restless again. We'll hear cracking noises, like the walls or the ceiling are settling. You know, mostly at nights.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly
at the knocking. Nights.
Yeah, we'll start hearing knocking on our door, on the walls, the head, you know, near the headboard of the bed, and then it starts getting interesting. Tell them about the most recent dream that you had during the last cycle.
Before I smoke cleanse the house right. the entire time. I woke up in the middle of the night because it felt like someone was walking around the corner foot of the bed, and they bumped into the bed three times as they were rounding the corner and like shaking the bed. And that was on Maxwell's side. So I thought it was him. You know, it's dark in the room. And, you know, it woke me up kind of half still asleep. And I look over. I saw him standing there next to the side of his bed. And it looked like he was maybe doing something with his nightstand or something. And I'm like, oh, you know, whatever. So I rolled over, kind of drifted back off to sleep. And then I realized, well, he never got back in bed. And that's a little strange. What's going on? So eventually I roll back over and I look, and he's in bed sleeping. And that's when I realized that the figure had been completely dark. It was completely black from head to toe. No discerning colors in pajamas or skin tone. And, you know,
was it the classic darker than dark?
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the wall is a light color, so it's not like, and then it was clearly nothing was there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, okay, tomorrow's the day. Right. The next day was a new moon, perfect time to smoke cleanse, pro tip there. And I'm like, yeah, it's time at this point. Because when I start seeing things, or when things start waking me up or shaking the bed, or moving or disappearing and reappearing, that's when it's like, okay, it's gone too long.
Right. And to be clear, we had started off saying we were talking about dreams, but that was no dream. Mm-hmm. That was real.
Mm-hmm. Had you like looked into the history of the house? Did someone ever die or get killed in the house or anything like that? Was there any sort of nefarious sort of history behind it that you knew of?
We did learn from
a neighbor
that someone who lived in the house died, not in the house, but not too far from the house, maybe a block away, was found mm-hmm. on the side of the road. And we don't really have a lot of detail as to what happened. So yes, Jim, the house has history.
And let's go into history for a little bit there, because we have researched things in the past for things, and it is incredibly difficult to find, you know, you think that would be significant, right? But unless sure. someone takes the time to actually put it on the internet, it's very, very hard to find, you know? Mm-hmm. So sure, we never looked for, maybe there's a police report, but is that public? I don't even know. And like, we don't know what year.
Well, I mean, right.
Do we even know where that neighbor lives? We're going to start knocking on doors. Hey, what do you know?
So did anything weird ever happen while you guys were recording an episode?
We've had some audio issues, and we've caught a few EVPs.
Yeah, just single word or single sound EVPs. And it's possible that there's been more that we just haven't heard. Mm-hmm. What was the word? And I guess it wasn't.
Yeah, it's usually something kind of babbled or something.
Yeah, it wasn't a coherent word, but it was very much a voice that was not either of ours. Mm-hmm. And we turned it up, and yeah, there was no mistaking it as anything else except a human voice. And now I don't remember what the word was. I think it was just garbled.
Yeah, it was just garbled. Maybe started with an F or something. Mm-hmm. Was it? Filberts.
I need my Filberts. So what are your favorite Halloween stories? I mean, why don't you share some with us?
Well, we wanted to let you know that we have an exclusive for Too Many Podcasts. We would like to share with you a sneak peek of an episode that we're working on for Odd Tonic. Mm-hmm. It is Encounters with the Dog Man.
I like it.
Which is awesome because we've never done a cryptid episode before.
Right. Have you heard of the Dog Man, Jim?
Actually, I can say that I have not.
You haven't? Well, it may interest you to know that the first Dogman sighting occurred in Wexford County, Michigan. He was witnessed by two loggers in 1887. They described the creature as a 7-foot-tall, blue or amber-eyed, bipedal, canine-like animal, Jim, with the torso of a man and a fearsome howl that sounded like a human scream.
Of course it did.
Tell us more, Jen.
According to legends that persist today, the Michigan Dogman appears in a 10-year cycle that falls in years ending with 7.
Why is that?
I don't know. And like, who figured that out? I don't know. In 1987, the legend of the Michigan Dogman gained popularity when DJ Steve Cook recorded a song about the creature and reported sightings just as an April Fool's joke. And not realizing that the song was a prank made in fun, the station was flooded with calls from witnesses who now had an opportunity to share their story.
So they all share their stories of the Dog Man.
Like, I saw it too.
Yeah.
That's not how they sound in Michigan. I apologize, Michigan. Don't hate me.
Chaos in Kalamazoo tonight.
People rioting.
But Michigan isn't alone.
It was an accident that gone wrong.
How dare you?
We're having fun at Michigan's expense, but they aren't alone in claiming its dogman pedigree. Reports of hair-raising tales from man's worst friend have been reported in at least 37 states in the U.S. And there is global agreement from Russia, Norway, and Brazil that dogman is not a good boy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. So let's flash forward to 2018 after the release of author Tom Lyon. Tom Lyon is his name. Mm-hmm. And you should support this man. He, at the time, had just released his best-selling book, Bigfoot Frightening Encounters. And Tom began to be contacted after this release by individuals who were eager to discuss their encounters with not Sasquatch, but the mysterious Dogman species. And they are fascinating. So if you'll allow us, Jim, we would like to share just one of those stories from his book, Frightening Dogman Encounters. Are you good?
Absolutely.
All right.
Be my guest.
Here we go. This one was submitted by Graham H.
The year was 1989, and I was living on the outskirts of Greensboro, North Carolina. I had three dogs living with me at the time, one black lab, one yellow lab, and one German Shepherd mix, all of which were females. The wooded environment that I resided in at the time was excellent for my trio of dogs. They were extremely intelligent and in touch with the natural habitat. None of them was the type to bark for no reason, and when they did sound the alarm, it was always because a predator was nearby. And let me tell you, nothing intimidated them. At least, that's what I once thought. I was living at home I've been living in that home for over 2 years when I was mysteriously woken up by all of the dogs whimpering at once. All three of them slept near the foot of my bed, and the behavior was so unusual that I remember questioning whether or not I was in a dream state. The German Shepherd, Blair, was doing circles near my bedroom door. It was hard to tell if she wanted to investigate something or if she wanted to escape the bedroom for whatever reason. I tried to hush them for quite some time with not any success. None of them were looking towards either my bedroom windows, so it was more like they had smelled something or heard something that my senses just didn't pick up on. Eventually, I became so restless that I let Blair walk out of the room, hoping to get some clue as to what had stirred them up. My other dogs, Greta and Mama, stayed put in my room and continued their soft whimpers. I grabbed a glass of water while I watched Blair trot in circles around my living room coffee table. I did notice that she was occasionally glancing up towards the windows, but it was apparent that she couldn't see anything out of the ordinary. After a few minutes of watching the same thing, I asked Blair back into my bedroom and allowed the three dogs to jump in bed with me. That was something I so rarely did, but I couldn't think of anything else to get them to calm down. There was something about the four of us huddled together that did help them calm down eventually.
For the next couple of weeks, everything in life proceeded as normal. It got to the point where I was able to brush off that strange behavior. I guess I had just convinced myself that one of them was overreacting and it caused the others to become concerned for no reason. Then I woke up to the same thing. This time, the trio seemed even more worked up than the last time. Unfortunately, this pattern turned into a regular thing that, after that second incident, without any indication as to what was getting the dogs so worked up. I had searched my yard multiple times without finding any evidence of intruders or rare animals. But there was one day where I came home from work at lunchtime to make a sandwich, and I noticed a few very strange-looking tracks in the dirt by my driveway. The only conclusion that could come to me at the time was that the tracks belonged to some large wolf, but the toes were much longer than any wild dog I knew to exist. Additionally, I knew my dogs wouldn't have been that intimidated by a rogue wolf. Together, the three of them were confident that they could take on any intrusive wild animal. It was that same night that my dogs woke me up yet again. Even though I was weirded out by the tracks I had found earlier that day, I just couldn't take it anymore. I went outside with a flashlight, and my dogs were essentially screaming as if they were begging me to come back inside. When I closed the door behind me, I could hear them whimpering louder than ever before. I started pointing the flashlight near the trees, scanning the area for any movement. I remember how still everything felt at that moment, as if time itself had stopped. As I neared the edge of the trees, my heart started to beat extremely fast, and I was overcome by this feeling that I shouldn't be out there. My instincts were telling me that I should have listened to my dogs. It was as I was turning around, about to head back inside, that the shine from my flashlight landed on a figure that was more than halfway cloaked by the hanging pine trees. But I could see enough of it to know that it was looking directly at me.
Suddenly, I caught sight of this massive head as it steadily ducked beneath the branch. The thing was standing on two legs, but from what I could see of the head, it reminded me so much of my own German Shepherd, only much larger, and its face was considerably wider. The creature was multiple shades of dark brown and black and was completely covered with fur. The branch, which it lowered its head below, was considerably high, making it as clear as day that this thing was no shorty. I didn't think it was standing up straight, but I'm going to throw it out there that I think it was around 8 feet tall. I could see one of the hands, and I say hand because it didn't look like a paw. I could see a long, opposable thumb. All the fingers had long nails extending from them. I wanted to turn and run from this thing, but there was no question that it would be able to tackle me before I could get to the door. It truly felt as though I was at this thing's mercy. I'd been so devastated by the sight of this creature that I hadn't even noticed my dogs were barking louder than ever and clawing at my front door. I think it's because they wanted to protect me and were very aware of what stood only yards away from me. The creature continued to hunch its head beneath the branch and then bring it back up. It would change this position every few seconds while keeping the rest of its body completely still. I'm not even totally sure that it knew I could see it while it stood behind the tree. Then, a slight relief came over me as I watched the creature swiftly turn and head back into the woods. As soon as I could no longer see it, that's when I did a 180 and sprinted toward my front door. It felt as though I was running in slow motion, like I could not get inside fast enough. Thankfully, I made it to the door and slammed it closed behind me. When I walked over to the window to close the blinds, that's when I came face to face with the creature.
It was standing inches from the glass, its shoulders hunched so that its head was leveled with mine. You're going to think this sounds insane, but those eyes were purely human. It didn't take long for me to realize that all three of my dogs had left the room. I guess seeing the creature that close crossed the line and they were too intimidated to let out another peep, even if it was to warn me. I remember how the creature's breath quickly began fogging up the glass. It was amazing to me that I had never heard it take a single step while it moved toward the house. Maybe I was just too scared to pay attention at the time, but if these creatures are as stealthy as ninjas, that makes their existence all the more terrifying. It continued to stare at me as I slowly backed away from the window. I backed around the corner and into the kitchen, grabbed the largest butcher knife I had, waited a few minutes, then peeked around the corner. I could see nothing through the window. Not sure how long I waited, but I stood there, leaned against the counter, pretty much waiting for any sign of noise. All was silent. Eventually, my dogs trotted out from hiding, and I took that as a sign that the creature had vacated the area.
My dogs and I stayed up the remainder of the night, and we went to and got a motel room the following night. I ended up renting an apartment on a month-to-month basis, and I realized I was too frightened to stay another night in that house. I'll never know for sure what I encountered while living at my old property, but what I do know for sure is that there are so many truths out there that are beyond our wildest imagination.
What'd you think of that, Jim?
I like that.
You're
thank
still
you
with
for
us.
That very exclusive story.
We want to let all your listeners know that if they enjoyed this story, they will absolutely love the multiple volumes of Frightening Dogman Encounters by Tom Lyons. That's available on Amazon. Some of them are available in print editions, and all of them are available on Kindle. So if you are an avid Kindle reader, this is some good stuff. We love these stories.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, okay, we hadn't really been familiar with the Dogman either. But when you read story after story after story, and they're all creepy and unique, you're like, wow, I'm never going into the woods again.
It's true. And you start to see patterns too.
Yes.
Patterns and stories between people who don't know each other, have never spoken to each other. When we, by the time we had read this story and we, and the author was saying, I have no idea how the dog man ran to the house so fast. There he was at my window. Why did I hear him running to the house? Well, if you read the other stories, you start to hear a common occurrence where there's not one.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of pack hunting mentality.
Pack hunting, where one will distract you.
And then suddenly you don't see the one flanking you.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
Dun, dun, dun.
The dog man.
The dog man.
Maybe they could get photographic proof of this if somebody left like a trail of snossages outside their
door. Snossages.
Those would have to be a big snossage, Jim.
Maybe Triscuits. Maybe a trail of Triscuits.
Snossage flavored Triscuits.
Oh, you're on to something, Jim.
There we go. Always thinking of these things. Okay, I appreciate that story, guys. I want to ask you a couple of your own opinions on things for Halloween, because I know you love it so much.
Sure. Please.
Okay, you have a favorite scary movie or favorite thriller that you like around Halloween?
Wow, it's just so hard to pick one.
You can name a few. It's okay.
Gosh, yeah. Well, like, I can think of some we just saw this year. The Ritual was really good. That was the Swedish folklore with the...
The Ritual, or is it Summer?
Oh, you're thinking Midsummer.
Midsummer, right.
No, that was something completely different. No, I'm talking about the one where the Swedish friends go hiking and they take the shortcut.
Oh, right.
And
that
encounter
was excellent.
Folklore in the woods.
Right.
Yeah, that was The Ritual. That one is good.
Uh-huh. And speaking of Midsummer, that director's previous movie.
Hereditary.
Was it Hereditary or Witch?
Oh, for The Ritual, it was.
That was that the director who did Witch then later did The Ritual? Oh my goodness. You'd think we'd know these things.
It's almost like we need to research before we start talking.
But anyway, there's, I think that we're right. We might be wrong as to which director did which movie, but.
Which movie?
Yeah. Hereditary is also, really wonderful.
Oh,
just
God.
Some of those visuals.
I feel bad recommending them because someone's going to email me and say, I'm traumatized for life. Thank you.
Yes, it's true. The last one that I remember that we've seen, although I don't think it's true, I think we've seen a few more thrillers since then, but I really enjoyed the, was it Ready or Not? Was that what it was called?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The
the hide and go seek,
the
bride one.
Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. More supernatural. I don't want to spoil it. It's good. That's another good one to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like I've already watched The Craft and Practical Magic. It was like a dual feature. I think might have been one day
gearing up for the season.
My favorites. Yeah, mm-hmm. Gotta love your witchy movies.
And for all of the HBO Max subscribers out there, definitely check out Lovecraft Country.
Oh, gosh.
Good stuff.
Horrifying in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it at that.
Multiple layers of awful. Deliciously awful.
All right. Do you guys have a favorite Halloween candy?
Oh, you know, there's the black wrapper and the orange wrapper, like peanut butter type toffee. That's like really old fashioned. I don't even know what they're called, but like those are hard to find.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Every year that company makes thousands of little wrapped candies only for Jennifer, the only American citizen who eats those.
I'm keeping the lights on for someone. And then I'm also a very big fan of Snickers. You know, classic. Classic Snickers.
I like me some Pop Rocks because I like an interactive Halloween treat. And I'm one of those, speaking of weird souls who enjoy weird candies, I am one of those people who enjoy a good candy corn.
Oh gosh, the debate continues. Mm-hmm. Let's not start. I do not like candy corn and there's no in between. And yet...
It's true.
You know, we still make this relationship work.
It's taken many years and a lot of negotiations. But I think we finally...
As long as the candy corn takes a back burner. You know, you don't really want to put it on the back burner because then it gets a little messy.
One giant candy corn.
I have one for you this week. Right to the bank. So do you guys have like a ritual on Halloween? I know that comes, is there a certain thing that you like doing like every Halloween? Let's put it that way. Oh. Ritual sounds a little, I'm sorry.
Well, I definitely, you know, this year with COVID still going on, definitely puts a hamper on things. But I really do love decorating. And obviously nothing will stop me ever from decorating. But it does seem to trend that I decorate more inside than outside. We get a lot of rain here in the Pacific Northwest and you just never know how it's going to be. But inside, I just love decorating and having a few friends over, and maybe we'll tell spooky stories or play a spooky game or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that way we're home to answer the door and we're still, you know, entertaining a little bit. And, I think, you know, we're both kind of a little bit homebodies to begin with. And, you know, why not use the parlor?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's true. Our ritual is not as, you know, not so different from others, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I guess when we have our small parties, some of the things that we enjoy doing, I guess, are a little odd. We will try our hand at remote viewing, which is always get surprising results, where we get a book that has a lot of different symbols in it. And one person is focusing on the symbol, not saying anything. Mm-hmm. And no one else has really looked through the book. And there's so many different pictures. It's just, it's impossible to know.
It's a great book for it. Mm-hmm.
And you just start drawing what's coming to mind. And when everyone is done, they show their pictures. And Jim, seriously,
it's weird.
There's similarities that pops out in the majority of the drawings that are done. And you don't have to have any history of being sensitive in the woo-woo at all. Really, anyone can do this. And the more you practice, the better you get. In fact, Russell Targ, when we did our Russell Targ episode.
Yeah, that's the OMG ESP WTF episode.
He said that he believes that this type of exercise is actually a little easier than the ESP cards. What are the
Zener cards?
Right, the Zener cards.
Carl Zener.
With the star and the circle and the wavy lines and whatnot, as made popular by the film Ghostbusters. because we try too hard, generally. People try too hard with their ESP.
And then so, you second guess.
Right. So if you know what the cards are, you find yourself trying to think, well, which card could that be? And the great thing about remote viewing is you don't know what it could be. So your brain sort of gets out of the way. Mm-hmm. And you just, if you have the confidence to just start scribbling what you see, chances are you're going to end up with a scribble that looks much more like what's being sort of transmitted to you. It's very fascinating.
All right, before I let you guys go, you guys know about shameless self-promotion because you've done it before.
That's right.
Shameless self-promotion. Shameless self-promotion.
Just so to let our listeners know where they can follow you and all your other stuff, if you can want to kind of read off your links.
Absolutely. Well, let me talk about Odd Tonic. And then we have another show that we can share as well.
Super, super quick.
Odd Tonic can be found at
OddTonicSociety.com.
Is it OddTonics? Right. OddTonicSociety.com. Sorry, I'm second guessing myself. And as we said earlier,
don't do that.
You can join our wonderful group of oddlings on Facebook.
Facebook.com/groups/OddTonicSociety. Mm-hmm. Those are our main staples.
Absolutely. Yeah. And do come over and visit and listen to our Halloween episode after Jim's episode.
And we're on anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us, from Spotify to Apple. And we're on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. YouTube.com/C/OddTonicSociety is our channel. C for channel in there.
Right, right. And if we could also quickly share another project that Jennifer has been working on.
Oh, sure. If you are into the more witchy, spiritual side of things, I've kind of gone off on my own vein, and it's called The Forest Parlor. And there's a YouTube channel for that where I do witchy, fun, spiritual videos, kind of getting it spooky for for Halloween as well. And you can find that on YouTube, youtube.com/C/channel/TheForestParlor. And The Forest Parlor itself has a website, forestparlor.com, where I offer divination readings. I do tarot readings, and I also do remote energy work as well.
I like it. All right. So you guys heard all that stuff. Autonic in the Forest Parlor. Please check them out. And Jennifer and Max, thank you so much. And happy Halloween again. I hope you guys enjoy your day.
Oh, happy Halloween to you. Keep it spooky.
Thanks so much, Jim. We really appreciate it.
Could you do one last, how you announced the show, like an autonic?
Yes. Please come visit us and join us for an episode of Odd Tonic.
Oh, and by the way, while we were talking, I came up with a couple more. The Heartthrobs of Horror.
Oh,
the Twosome of Terror. And the Soulmates of Scary.
Oh.
Oh, I am so honored. That is so sweet.
What's your hourly rate there,
yes,
Jim?
Yes.
You're hired.
You're hired. You're so hired.
I'll have to work on greeting cards next, right? Jennifer and Maxwell, thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Let's get back to the Sherpa.
Sorry about that.
No.
And there you have it. That was part one of our Halloween special. And there's more coming up with Marianne of Walking the Shadowlands. I'd like to say a special thank you to Jennifer and Maxwell for hanging out again and being such great guests. Once again, I wasn't worried about that. They're so much fun. We love them. And be sure that when you're done checking out the Halloween stories over here, to head on over to Odd Tonic or the upcoming show, Walking the Shadowlands, and check out their Halloween stories. I'm sure you're bound to enjoy them. A few little things. Next week, it's season 5, folks, and we start off with, I know, hold on to your hats, sports week. I haven't talked about sports at all yet, and I got to talk to 3 really great sports podcasters, and I think you're going to enjoy all of the episodes, even if you're not a big sports fan, because these guys are just so entertaining and so much fun. I think you're really going to enjoy them. We kick things off with Coach Scott Fields, and he has a fascinating story, and he will motivate you. Trust me, I felt motivated after we were done with the interview. I'm not kidding. So check that out. And we are on Wednesdays and Fridays for season 5. So Sherpa gives you a little something extra going into the weekend. Next week, it will be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then the following weeks after will probably be Wednesday and Friday, unless we slip a little bonus episode in there. You can follow this show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Sherpalution. You knew that, didn't you? And you can hear this show on any of your favorite podcast apps. We're on Amazon now. Yay! You can even ask Alexa to play Too Many Podcasts, and she'll do it for you. And also, you can go to my website, sherpalution.com, for all the episodes from the very beginning to right now and afterward. Dun, 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 dun. Have a happy Halloween. Don't eat too much candy. Be kind to the trick-or-treaters and be socially distant. And I'll see you next time. Viva la Sherpalution. Happy Halloween.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now.
Viva la Sherpalition. Viva la Sherpalition. Yeah, I'll come back now, you hear?